Okay, so it's good to see everybody here. Every time I think about this, we were at a funeral earlier in the summer down at the south end of the county, and I was in line with David Hasty. And I've told you this story, but the church we were at, they used the same thing here, and David Hastings sees it laying up on a pulpit. He taps you on the shoulder and he goes, "Look." So it's, you've got to be involved in this thing to know the wrestling match that we have with it to make sure it's on. But turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going through the last part of the fruit of the Spirit. Jim's already there. He's got ESP. He knows. So we've been on now for several weeks. In fact, when I looked last night on Fruits of the Spirit, my Microsoft Word on this, just the outline, Fruits of the Spirit, 17 pages long, and it's 7,653 words, just the outline. So we've gone through this pretty extensively, the Fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5. So we're on the last one today, which will be self-control. Okay? Self-control. Or temperance, all right? So Galatians 5:22, and we'll just read 22 just for the introduction here. We probably know it by heart now. And if we do, it's good, because that means we know all the things we need to keep in check, right? But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So 9 of them. So we've been through 8. So, self-control. Now, I appreciate all the positive feedback we've had, people have given on this. I think we've got something out of it. I hope you have. At least I have. And I want you to know, too, and I tell you this often, when I'm up here, I'm never speaking down to you and saying, this is what you need to do. I'm having an oral conversation with David Sisk, and you guys are along for the ride. That's the way I look at it, because, hey, I'm like anybody else. There are things here that I need to keep in check. And there's things that I need to work on all this. Now, some of us will have, out of this list of 9, you'll have things that you've got down pat. Things that you don't need to work on. I may have things in my life that I feel pretty good about, and I feel I really try to do. And you might have, well, that's the one I need to work on, and vice versa. So for me, I know this, if you were talking about love and peace, trying to do kind things for each other, I think that's something that's really important to me. And I just feel like if you're in a job that I'm in, helping kids, you're always helping. You're trying to do that. I know Terry Crews told me Friday night, said, Missy will have all kinds of stars in her crown for the kids that she's helped over the years. So some of that just, it comes naturally, and you do that because that's who you are in your personality. Self-control is probably one that I need, and I'll be honest with you. When I looked at this, I said, Lord, I dread this last one. And that's probably the one that I need to work on more than anything, is self-control. And just things in my life that, and I'm not, maybe not real bad, but even just, you'll have conversations with people. And you know me, Missy told somebody, he says, you know, I think David does a good job. So I'm just scared what's going to come out of his mouth. And I try to be transparent, and I'm an open book, try to be. And we're among friends here, brothers and sisters. I feel comfortable that I can say things around you. But, you know, you can have conversations with people, and I do all the time. This is like what I said to Patsy. And I'll be like, man, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I said something around. Now, I didn't think that when I said it to Patsy. But I'll be having conversations with somebody, and I'll say, you know, I probably said something right there, and I didn't cuss. I didn't do any of that, but I probably said something. Maybe I didn't need to say that. You know, especially if you're a guy and you're around other guys and you're laughing and going on and all that. But you got to remember, you're a Christian first. And you say, so there's things there. And so self-control. And you can't do any of these other things unless you have self-control. And especially, it starts with the mind. Okay? So that can be a hard thing. Now, the King James uses the word temperance. Okay? Instead of self-control. In the Greek, this means moderation in one's thoughts, feelings, and actions. So there's three things. Thoughts, feelings, and actions. And I love where I read a couple different definitions. I love this. It proceeds out of oneself. So it's inside. It proceeds out of us, but it's not by oneself. In other words, what's inside comes out, but for me to have self-control, I can't do this alone. Or to have temperance, okay? Now, when I hear the word temperance, the first thing I thought of with the word temperance was, when I was a kid, you heard that mentioned all the time when you was in school and you went back in history, the Women's Christian Temperance Union, back in the Prohibition days and pre-Prohibition. That was in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and you'd see old TV, you know, things on TV about history and history classes at school, and they would bring this up. So it promoted temperance or abstinence from alcohol, and it led to Prohibition 100 years ago or so. The Women's Christian Temperance Union saw alcohol as a source of crime, poverty, and violence, and I can't argue with any of that, and they marched to stop it. So when I think of temperance, I'm thinking of these ladies when it came to alcohol and said, don't do it. Don't do it. Okay? So when we have temperance and self-control, there's things that we do not need to do in our lives. But it can be outside, but it can be inside. What's inside comes out. Okay? Self-control is more than just controlling outward sin. It begins as an action on the inside. Thoughts lead to actions. And I've said this before. Les Feldick said every sin in the Ten Commandments began with coveting. He said there's not one sin you can commit that didn't start with a covet. Okay? You were jealous about something. You were mad about something somebody else had. You had bad feelings. Those bad feelings lead to actions. Okay? But I like what the definition said. Thoughts, feelings, and actions. Today we're going to talk about thoughts. Self-control of thoughts. It's a doozy. So Charles Stanley has got a great, and I'm not seeing it in a while, so I'm not going down taking everything he said. I'm not seeing it for a couple of years. But it's really good. It's called The Battle for Your Mind. Charles Stanley. And I would recommend that like I said, it's been several years. I'd recommend you watch it. It's on YouTube. Now, turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 6. Romans 8, verse 6. So we're talking about how to have self-control of our thoughts. Now, Paul here in Romans does a wonderful job. He says, okay, we're going to put this into two camps, carnal and spiritual. Okay, Romans 8, 6. And he says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So there's two camps. You can't do both. Okay? If you've been saved, and how are you spiritually minded? You've been born again. You've been saved. That's how you're spiritually minded. Well, you have life and peace in your thoughts. But if you're not, and you're carnally minded, that leads to death. Okay? Now, carnally minded not only means lusts, L-U-S-T-S, I can never pronounce that with plural, but it not only means that. Now, that could be all kinds of things. That's just not a sexual type of thing. It can be, lust can be anything that I desire of this world that's not spiritual, that's not what God would have me to do. Okay? So, It's about puffed up religion. It's about babyish behavior. It's about immaturity. It's about all those things. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So Paul obviously is writing to the church of Corinth here. And you got to remember, this was the most carnal church. It's weird. They were probably the most spiritually gifted, but they were the most carnal. It's kind of a weird thing. This was not the church that was buttoned up. It was not the church where they had everything in order. They had all these spiritual gifts, and they were able to minister, but they had all this stuff inside of them. Okay? And that's one of the things. That's how God moves. That proves God can move with broken vessels. We can't explain it. There's some things we can't explain. That's one of them. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I, brothers and sisters, could not speak to you as spiritual people. Now, but only as fleshly, as to infants in Christ. Now, let's say this. Let me get this out here. Carnal does not mean you're lost. We believe and believe in security that once you become a believer, that you can't lose it. You can't lose your salvation. Now, it's easy to think, well, if you're carnal, you're lost. Spiritual saved, carnal's lost. But that's not the case. What's Paul call them? Brothers and sisters. I can't even speak to you as spiritual people, okay? I have to speak to you as fleshly because you're still infants in Christ. So, you've been saved, all right? You are in the body of Christ, but you've not made any gains towards spiritual maturity from the day you were saved. And you've got to remember, a lot of us, before we were saved, we came up in church, Cleo. We knew. These people didn't know anything. They came out of abject paganism, and they had everything in their lives that goes along with that. Okay? They don't know anything about the Lord. They don't know anything about anything. And they get saved, and they haven't grown. But they're still Christians. Okay? Now, he says, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to consume it. And now, you're still not able to consume it. Even now. Okay? So I gave it to you in the past. You couldn't take spiritual food. And even when I give it to you now, you can't take it. You're still babes in Christ. I think about Giles. When I stopped at the restaurant yesterday, we got him some mashed potatoes and gravy. We can't feed him steak and things like that. Thing he has to swallow. So when I think of these Christians here, Giles is 10 months old. I'm thinking of a 10-month-old that can't chew, that can't do any of that, right? Okay, for you're still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife amongst you, are you not fleshly? That's how they were carnal. Strife and jealousy. Could not get along. Immature. Like two little kids fighting back and forth. Okay? My daddy loves me more than he loves you. All that stuff. The way kids do. That's what they were doing. It doesn't speak here about immorality. It doesn't speak about things like that. It says you've got jealousy and strife. You're immature. You're like babies. Okay? Are you not fleshly? Are you not? I can't even speak to you. I have to speak to you like you're fleshly. You don't even walk like ordinary people. Okay? Now, carnally minded individuals can be believers, but they never mature and grow. Now remember, we're talking about thoughts, the self-control. So I can have my thoughts, what I can control, these things here, the self-control, can keep me from growing spiritually. They keep me carnal, right? Remember that we talked about the other week, we're all ministers. Every one of us. We're called into some type of ministry. So we can't stay on the bottom. It doesn't mean that we can give a thesis on biblical doctrine. Okay? That's not what it's talking about. But it's talking about maturing. Okay? Patty told me something last week, and I'm glad she's here. You know, she spoke about, and I told Patty what a blessing she's been to us and how much of an influence she had on Drew and these other people that have been saved and and are in the body now and baptized, and it's all going to be reward for her. And she said, you know something? She said, I didn't know the verses. I couldn't get up and give a sermon on doctrine or anything like that. She said, all I could do was share what the Lord's done for me. And what else, Patty, what else is there better than that? That's from the heart. It comes from the heart. Patty knows. She's had that experience with the Lord. And we can all be like that. Okay? That we can share just what the Lord's done for us. We don't have to be the doctorate in theology to be able to be spiritually mature. So don't think that's the case. Okay? But battling the flesh for all of us, battling the flesh is something we all have to do to certain degrees. Some more than others, but it's a constant battle. Okay? Turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I've got a friend of mine who we had this discussion a couple years ago. Very good friend. And he said, you know, Paul's mine. You know me. I'm all about Paul. And he said, Paul's my favorite. He said, of all of them, he said, because I can relate to Paul. He said, Paul, as the greatest Christian that ever lived, he wanted to do the thing, and what he wanted to do, he'd come short and couldn't do it. And then things he didn't want to do, he'd do. He said, Paul is just a great example for us. And Paul didn't give up. Okay, so if Paul faces this stuff, we're going to face it. So spiritual maturity, being in self-control, being able to fight these things and overcome. Okay? So Paul says, verse 14 through 23, familiar scripture. Now this is Paul speaking. Okay? This is not Joe Schmo, who's down at the State Line beer joints last night and got up and his wife drug him to church this morning. That ain't him. This is Paul. Okay? For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am fleshly, sold into bondage to sin. For I do not understand what I'm doing, for I am not practicing what I want to do. This is Paul. But I do the very thing I hate. However, if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law. Now, what does that mean? The law can't save us. All the law can do is identify our sin. That's what the law does. And Paul says, when I come short here, when I do these things I don't want to do, or vice versa, I'm proving the law is correct. Because the law identifies that. But the law can't save, right? Now, I agree with the law that the law is good. Now, verse 17. But now no longer am I the one doing it, but the sin that dwells in me. What does that mean? So Paul, you say, okay, so is Paul a Christian or is he lost? Is he controlled by the Lord or is he controlled by the devil? Paul's saying, this is not me. I'm spiritual. I am a child of God. I'm saved, but I'm still in this fleshly body. I'm still in this fleshly body, right? For the willing, hold on here. For I know that good does not dwell in me. That's my flesh. For I'm willing, the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. What the body is willing, but the flesh is weak. Isn't that the old saying? Okay? So that's what Paul's saying here. For the good that I want, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I do the thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. Now let me stop right there. It's easy for us to look at somebody else and say, boy, that guy's got it all together. That guy's been, he's a leader, he's been saved for a long time. Trust me, that person fights the same battle. Some, it may not be the same battles, but we all fight something. Now, it might not be outward what we'd call, man, what a, that's a one of the big ones, one of the big sins, right? It may not be that. It may be thoughts that come into our mind about somebody. Somebody that we don't, that we have a hard time liking. Somebody does us wrong. Somebody, and we have these thoughts. Paul may have had thoughts. Paul was persecuted constantly. That doesn't mean that Paul's going out and getting falling down drunk and chasing every woman in town and all that stuff. It doesn't mean that. Paul had a lot of people persecute him. How hard was it for Paul to have to love these people? I think it would have been really hard. A bunch of guys bullwhipped me or put me in jail or haul me off and have me, you know, stoned and everything. Paul would have had a hard time loving these people. Maybe that was it. I don't know. But we all have something, right? So Paul's saying, I've got this constant battle. Chuck Smith, some of you may know who Chuck Smith is. He's a pastor in California. He's Greg Laurie's pastor, original pastor, founded Calvary Chapels in California. When I first got saved, I was trying to listen to different preachers, and he was one that I listened to some. He was good. He was talking about some of this, and he said, he said, I've been a Christian, and had to be in his 70s when he was getting his sermon. He said, I've been a Christian for over 50 years. He said, I've been in the ministry for over 40. He said, and I'm out working in a yard and just having a big old time, working in a yard. And all of a sudden, I start singing his silly song that we sung in the Navy. And he said, that's 50 years ago. That song had not come into my mind for 50 years. And he said it was a song that a Christian probably shouldn't be singing. And he said, here I am singing that song out in the yard. He said, I hadn't thought about it in 50 years. It just come to my mind. I started humming it and singing it. And I had to stop right then. Like, what are you doing? And where did this come from? He said, it's been 50 years since I'd heard that. And that's what happens. Things can come in. So the mind, controlling the mind, it's a constant battle. Okay? All right. So he says in verse 22, for I joyfully agree with the law of God in the inner person. Now, here we go. But I see a different law in the parts of my body waging war against the law of my mind. The body waging war against my mind. Now remember what we're talking about, self-control of the mind. And making me a prisoner of the law of sin, the law which is in my body part. So I think a lot of this that Paul is speaking about was just stuff, thoughts and passions and just what he thought about other people. These things that come into his mind that he didn't want there as a Christian. Okay? So this brings up an intriguing subject to me. All right? So get this. How does the law of my mind overcome the law of my body? That's what Paul was facing. Okay? How does the law of my mind overcome the law of my body? I know I'm in the flesh. I know I'm not perfect. How can I build a Christian mindset to overcome that? Okay? Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, you can't, I'm going to use mind as a verb, okay? Like, my child minds me, or my child won't mind me. We use that as a verb, okay? You can't mind what you don't know, okay? You can't mind what you don't know. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're talking about self-control of our mind. And like I said, I'm here with you, brother. I'm just talking to myself. Missy, I've told you, Missy asks me all the time. She'll hear me talk. She said, are you talking to yourself in the shower? And I say, yep, practicing for Sunday. So here I am, speaking out loud, having a conversation with myself.
right?
Okay. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10 through 16. Remember what we said, and you might want to write this down. So how does the law of my mind overcome the law of my body? Number one, we can't mind what we don't know. Okay? So 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 16. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Oh, Charlie's looking at me. Mine's the wrong one. Thank goodness. All right. Charlie keeps, he's got to keep tabs on me too. Okay. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among people knows the thoughts of a person except the spirit of the person that is in him? Now, I believe Paul clearly teaches we can know, and Leo talked about this all the time, God having a plan for our lives and us following. I believe, Judy, we can know the thoughts of God for us. I believe we do, because it says here, for who among people knows the thoughts of a person except the spirit of the person that is in him? When we are saved, we are indwelled by the Spirit immediately. This is not something that happens later. It's not something we have to work to. We are immediately indwelt by the Spirit. So we have the Spirit in us. According to this, we can know the thoughts of the Spirit that's in us, right? Okay? So, also the thoughts of God, no one knows except the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is in us, right? Now, we have not received the Spirit of the world. So he goes on to clarify this. But the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Can we know the things of God for us? Cleo, absolutely. Absolutely. We can know the things of God. When you were lost and you did something, a sin that you weren't supposed to do, you never thought twice about it, Cleo. But now, I know for my own self, I do something that I'm not supposed to do, man, and I know it. Bingo. There's your difference. There's your difference. Okay? That's God. Tell us we can know what God wants us to do, right? We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Now get this in verse 14. A natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are not spiritually discerned. You know, I wasn't a Christian 10 years ago, but I could have stood up here in 2010, 2014, 2015, whenever, and could have said this, and we'd say, yes, that's true. But I'm going to tell you what, we see in society today, it's more true than it's ever been. It ain't even close to what it was 10 years ago. I mean, there's a distinct line drawn of what people believe spiritually and what people believe fleshly and worldly, and the people worldly think you are a village idiot for believing what you do about God, about spiritual things. They just cannot conceive it. What the reason is, they don't have the Holy Spirit in them. Okay, that's the reason. All right? So they can't discern it. God, it says so right here. But verse 15, but the one who is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is discerned by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we all have the mind of Christ. We all, not part of us. When you're saved, you take on the mind of Christ. We all have it. So you can know. So how does the mind overcome the law of my body? We can mind what we know. Okay? And we know we have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit speaks to us, so we know, but we have to heed and listen. Okay? Turn to 1 Philippians chapter 3. 1 Philippians chapter 3. First First Philippians chapter 3. I love babies in church. I do. I do. It didn't bother me a bit. I love it. That's what Missy said. What do we do? Giles, he don't hear you, and I'm not good. Let him. That's right. Philippians 3, 14 through 16. 14 through 16. So this is Paul, again, from a Roman jail cell. To the church of Philippi, said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing. Therefore, all who are mature. So he's speaking to the mature Christians. Let us have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you as well. So if you have a mature attitude, you are mature in Christ, okay? You have worked and prayed and studied and you're growing in the Lord. You're becoming mature. If you're doing something and you have the wrong attitude or doing what you don't need to do, Paul says, God will let you know. He'll let you know. And if you're doing the right thing, God will let you know, okay? However, let's keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. So we have a standard we're trying to live to, and our attitude does not help us get there or live to that. God will let us know. Now, number two, you can't mind the things of the Spirit without belief. So what do we say, number one? We can't mind what we don't know. Well, number two, we can't mind the things of the Spirit without belief. It's always about belief. Okay? Romans 5, and you can just write this down, says we have been given the obedience of faith through receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we've been given faith. We became Christians because of faith. Okay? We received, we had to have faith to become Christians. We had to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We had to have that. So we have that faith in us. And now we have the faith to grow. All right? It's based on faith. We can't mind the things of the Spirit without belief. Turn to Romans 6. Romans 6. Romans 6, 17 through 19. We can't mind the things of the Spirit without belief. It's always about belief. Romans 6, 17 through 19. Okay? But thanks be to God that you were slaves of sin. You became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were entrusted. And after being freed from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. Now, it's Christ's righteousness. That's how God sees us. We not only receive salvation when we're saved, we receive Christ's righteousness. And no matter what, that's how God sees us, no matter how short we fall. Okay? Now, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For you, just as you presented the parts of your body as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your body's parts as slaves to righteousness, including sanctification. Sanctification, the maturing, the growing. I've noticed that churches... I grew up in a church, as you know, that you could lose your salvation. They talked a lot about sanctification, about growing as becoming sanctified, becoming a more mature Christian, the actions. And we are saved unto works, okay? Works don't save us, but we're supposed to show that and have that after we're saved. And when we do this, when we do present our body parts, our bodies as living sacrifices, it results in sanctification. Okay? And it says, we have belief, we became obedient, we have faith to do that. Okay? Belief in the right things lead to the right type of actions. Belief in the right things lead to the right kind of actions. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Belief in the right things lead to the right kind of actions. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now remember, it said that we have to have a belief. We have to believe in what we're thinking. Have you ever heard somebody say, you'll hear it in politics or something about that, somebody on the other side will say, he believes his own lies. You ever heard that? He believes his own lies. He's lied so much he believes it. He's talked himself into it. What happened? They spoke before they thought. They speak first, then they think. But here it says, belief in the right thing, okay? Look at 1 Corinthians 4. So 2 Corinthians 4, I'm sorry. I don't want to give that away. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. Okay, I'll give you a second. I jumped the gun here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. I didn't speak first and then try to convince myself of it. I know what I believed, okay? I can't obey unless I believe. I can't have self-discipline unless I believe. I believe, and then my belief, what's inside, turns into action, okay? I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we speak, okay? We're not trying to convince ourselves of something. We know what we believe, and then we speak that. We act upon it, okay? So, I can't mind the things of the Spirit without belief. I have to know what I believe in, okay? Thirdly, the spiritual mind should know the things of the Spirit. The spiritual mind should know the things of the Spirit. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 10. Colossians 1, 9 through 10. The spiritual mind should know the things of the Spirit. Colossians 1, 9 through 10. For this reason, since the day we heard about it, have not ceased praying for you and asking that you be filled with the spirit of knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Goes back to what we said. When you're saved and as you grow, you will become filled with this. Okay? You will know. You will be given spiritual wisdom. You'll grow in it. I pray every day for spiritual wisdom, because this has been promised to us. God will give that to you. Okay? So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You can't, your spiritual mind should know the things of the Spirit. So spiritual wisdom and understanding leads to a walk worthy of the Lord. Okay? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, this is a work. Now, let me say this. Just because God promises you to this doesn't mean, hey, I'm going to sit around on my beanbag, watch TV all day and all night, and I never open up the Word of God, and I never pray, and God's just going to drop it through the roof on me. That doesn't happen. It takes work. Okay? We have to work and we have to apply this. Okay? 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, so the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work. We need to know what we believe in. We need to know what the Bible says. We need to know the Scripture. We need to know if I'm going to work a certain way and I'm going to work for the Lord, I need to know what I'm working for. What I have. You know, what's that? I know this, and I'm going to speak for myself. Okay? And wherever we stop and we'll go further. But like I said, this is something that I need to work on. And this is something that where I come short and I really do need to apply it to myself. So like I said, I'm speaking to myself. I don't know how you are, but I'll do this. I'll say, all right, I know it. The Lord's been convicting me on I need to do it. I'll start tomorrow. Okay? I'm going to we need to start now and not put it off. And then once we work on it, how dedicated, Judy, are we to it? Because it takes work. You're talking about your mind. It takes work. You, if things come in that don't need to be there, you just don't need to entertain it. You need to get it out. Okay? If things that I need to be doing, it takes discipline. Now, I know for me, in doing this, there's things, a lot of areas in my life I need discipline in, okay? There really is. And I'm not saying you have to do this to be a Christian, everybody does do this. Junk food is a horrible, horrible idol in my life. I don't know another way to put it. So I can eat healthy, which I do. I try not to eat fried. I eat right, I eat stir fry, I eat all that stuff. But I'll say, you know, since you did so good at that, it's not going to be so bad if you eat 4 bags of potato chips tonight. So, and I know this for a fact, because Missy brought 4 bags of potato chips the other night, and the next night she said, where did they go? And I said, well, they're here to eat, you know? So I'm going to eat them. That's what they're here for. She said, I wanted at least one of them. I'm not making any of this up. So, but the thing that I know, you know, I've kind of put together and I said, you know, discipline in my life, Wanda Johnson used to tell me all the time when she was superintendent of schools, she said, celebrate the small victories. If you have a victory with a kid, celebrate that. Don't start thinking, oh man, we got this, now we got to do this. Celebrate the small victories. So with me, I'm thinking, you know, just one discipline at a time. If I have this small and I can do this, I think it's hard for me to say, control your mind and the thoughts of your mind when I can't say no to a bag of potato chips. I mean, seriously. I'm just applying it to me. Okay? So these little battles that we have and things are discipline in our life, I think we constantly need to be working on making sure that we have discipline in our lives. If there are things, and I'm not like Mormons or Seventh-day Adventists that think the food laws, because you drink a Coca-Cola, you're not going to heaven. Okay? I'm not there. But I'm saying is, we need to work toward having discipline in my life, in our lives. Okay? We do. No matter what it is. Okay? Because it's hard to say, okay, I can control some stuff. I can't control others. We need to be doing a constant work. I'll close with this. One of my favorite scenes on Andy Griffith was when the traveling salesman, Malcolm Tucker, you remember that, David? I know David does. He's got it memorized word for word. Malcolm Tucker's car breaks down on a Sunday in Mayberry. And he's a big city traveling salesman from Charlotte, Malcolm Tucker Enterprises. So he's stuck in Mayberry, wanting to get his car fixed, but he's got a problem. Nobody's open on Sunday. Wally don't, he'll work on it Monday. So Malcolm Tucker's stuck in Mayberry. This guy lives in Charlotte, right? And the small town way of life, he don't get. He's anxious, he's busy, he's got to be doing, and nobody else is like that. So Barney's sitting around on the porch, right? And he said, Andy, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go down to the drugstore and get some ice cream. Going to go over to Thamaloo's, watch a little TV on the couch. Yep, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go. That's the plan. In the old time, he's sitting in a rocking chair, rocking. I'm going to go to the drugstore, get some ice cream, go to Thamaloo's, sit down on the couch, watch a little TV. That's what I'm going to do. And he says it again. He never budges. He's just got his eyes closed. He's rocking back and forth. And Malcolm Tucker says, man, just do it. go to the drugstore, get some ice cream, go to Thamaloo's, get on the couch, watch a little TV, quit talking about it, just do it. That's me. I like to talk about it. I'm going to do it tomorrow. That's what I'm going to do, rocking back and forth. I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to say, Lord, I promise tomorrow I'll start doing it. I'll start controlling these. I'll have a little bit more discipline. Lord, I'll do it tomorrow. How serious? I need to start doing it and quit talking about it and thinking about it. I need to be serious about these in my life, because I think a lot of times these things, we know we have eternal security. We know God loves us. We know we're going to heaven. And when we don't base heaven and hell on this stuff, sometimes we can be Judy a little bit less serious about it. But God's given us freedom to decide. We're His. That doesn't change us, but He's given us freedom to make these decisions. And because He's been so good for me, I need to be the most effective Christian and most effective ambassador here on earth for Jesus as I can be. So I need to work on these things. Okay? So self-control of the mind. I hope this has helped. We'll do more next week. Okay, but these are things here. Number one, you know what you believe in. Okay, so you can do it. You have the mind of Christ. You have everything you need. And you say, you know, I've got something in my life and I can't overcome it. It's tough. God has given you through Jesus' death on the cross and our acceptance of it. God's given you everything you need to conquer anything in your life. Okay? So self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is a fruit. Okay? Temperance is a fruit. So things that we struggle, we can win this battle. The faith, the belief, we should have that. And we should understand, like I said, that we have to work. And it's tough. But understand, who's your dad? Who's your dad? Who are you serving? And greater is He that's in me than it's in the world. And that's the way we need to live our lives. Martha Jo.